Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapters 13, 31 through 33, and verses 44 through 52 from the NIV version. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed up into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace, when there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus answered, or asked, and yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a home who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Eternal God, you have made us in your image. Let our hearts, minds, and spirits be turned to you in this time so that the Holy Spirit may bring us closer to the word. Amen. So I had a phone conversation with someone earlier this week, and I gotta tell you that phone conversation, even though I didn't know exactly what to say or how to answer, my call, my faith, my vocation in general, my call to this church in particular was really solidified. And you know that this person had some really tough questions about the Bible and differences between Catholics and Protestants and the Trinity. And I don't know if I fully answered any of their questions. And in fact, I'm quite certain that I stumbled over most of them. The Bible isn't exactly crystal clear on a lot of things. And the deep questions that we have about life and God and Jesus, they aren't answered with just a few sentences or even a half hour phone conversation. And that's one of the reasons that we come to church and we read the Bible and we pray throughout our lives. I imagine the disciples in this passage, they're just sort of sitting around. It's like a free day, and they're just sort of carefree, resting, sort of lounging on the hillside, looking up at the clouds, trying to find what shapes they can find. They're like, that one's a blender. I'm just kidding. They didn't know what blenders were. One of them just sort of like, while they're sort of daydreaming and thinking about one of them, I imagine, says, I wonder what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's a tough question. Jesus would think for a minute while staring at the clouds. He's trying to come up with a really clear way to describe the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is simultaneously like nothing they or we have ever experienced. Yet it is also at the same time something that they and we encounter every minute of every day. So Jesus starts telling them a series of parables. And at the end, Jesus asks the disciples if they've understood, and they answer yes. And I wonder how much of what Jesus said was actually fully grasped by the disciples. Like, of course, these similes probably made much more sense to first century Palestinians than they do to 21st century Americans. But I still imagine the disciples' yes being more like, okay, sure, clear as mud, Jesus, thanks. Likely the person that I talked to earlier this week had the same reaction after we both hung up the phone. Jesus included six parables in this passage. Now, I have only included five of them on this slide. And the last one, first of all, the last one is sort of hard to recognize as a parable. But also, I ran out of space. You might be wondering why Jesus spent so much time and gave so many examples for just this one concept. It's an important concept. It's an important part of our faith and the primary reason Jesus came to be with us. But it's also a really complicated idea. And none of these parables on their own really describes what the kingdom of heaven is like. We need all of them together. So the kingdom of heaven is caught up in both our ordinary everyday lives, and it's also completely beyond all of our understanding. Anything we could absolutely think of. So Jesus uses these multiple connections that he thinks that maybe the disciples might begin to sort of grasp a little bit. And as this bridge between the finite and the infinite is built through these parables, we're given new perspectives from which we might view our lives. So Jesus starts out describing a mustard seed. I know, seeds, again, for the third week in a row. I get it. Jesus was talking to people living in an agrarian society. They were obsessed with seeds. I'm not sure how many of you know much about mustard seeds and bushes. The seed is smaller than the head of a pin. It weighs virtually nothing. But the bush grows about 2 to 6 feet. And then there are other instances where that bush can actually grow like 8 to 10 feet. And so it's at that point, it's less of a bush and more of a tree. And these bushes, they're just unruly. They were considered a weed that took up valuable crop space. And as Presbyterians, we like and expect order. Like a farmer's field. They're planted in these neat little lines, and we know where everything is. It's marked perfectly. Well, I have some bad news about the kingdom of heaven. Like the mustard seed, it sneaks in and it takes over. And once it does, it then nurtures and provides shelter to God's creatures. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven, it's unpredictable. It invades the ordinary. And then Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixed into flour. Again, yeast, tiny, small, a speck, inconspicuous.
Right, amen.
And in Jesus' time, yeast or leaven, it took an exact science to do correctly. So there was a portion of leftover bread that was like set aside and let to spoil. Now, if it wasn't spoiled enough, it was worthless and it wouldn't cause new dough to rise. But if it was left too long, it could ruin the bread and even cause food poisoning. You can imagine that people were a little hesitant when it came to yeast. But that little bit of yeast, it was worked into 60 pounds of flour. Can you even imagine what 60 pounds of flour looks like? Can you imagine kneading that much dough? Her arms must have been solid. And with that much flour, with that amount of flour, that woman must have been preparing for like an extravagant feast. Like that's enough flour to create like 100 to 150 loaves of bread. The yeast that the woman bakes with does this miraculous work silently. It transforms the flour into this nourishing, sustaining food. The kingdom of heaven is in the everyday, ordinary, and sometimes undesirable stuff of life. The kingdom of heaven is stealthy. It's subversive. And Jesus continues. And he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a great treasure. In these two parables, one man just sort of stumbles across the treasure while he's plowing a field. And another man is intentionally searching, going everywhere imaginable. He knows exactly what he's looking for, and yet he's still surprised when he finds it. Both instances, these people seeking treasure, they sell everything they have in order to obtain that treasure. The kingdom of heaven, whether we're seeking for it or not, it brings about this reversal of values. It disrupts our normal daily life with this promise of a new way of life. The treasure is of such supreme value that it's worth doing new, risky, costly, but still joyful things to possess it. The kingdom of heaven it's of unsurpassable value. And some of us are just going to sort of stumble upon it. And others of us are just going to go through great lengths to find it. And either way, once we find it, we'll do unreasonable things to hold on to it. Jesus then moves on to compare the kingdom of heaven to fishing. Another, you know, normal activity that would often be happening. But the kind of fishing that Jesus was referring to was with a dragnet. And these are, they're fishing nets. They're about 6 feet deep and like hundreds of feet wide. And obviously it takes several men to operate this. And they either take this net and they like drag it behind the boat, or they drag it in between two boats and they just sort of scoop up as many fish as they can. And it gathers everything in its path. No discrimination. It just gathers everything. Just like Jesus gathered in a wide variety of people. Jesus gathered in sinners, tax collectors, Roman centurion, people with leprosy and diseases, Gentile women, the demon-possessed, children, Pharisees. Jesus even gathers in the disciple who betrayed him. The net brings in all sorts. Much like the parable of the weeds from last week, there's a sorting party on the shore, and the promise of the kingdom is a widely cast net, but the decision as to which of the catch was good and which is bad, again, it's not for us to decide. It's none of our business. We don't get to decide what are the good fish and what are the bad fish here and now. We've already seen that the kingdom of heaven is counter to all of our earthly ways and all of our understanding. God's going to take care of it. God will take care of the sorting in God's time. Jesus closes this section of parables by telling the disciples that now that they have the secrets of the kingdom, they are the teachers and the masters of the household. And as wise teachers, they will recognize the value to be found in the old and the new. In the Jewish scriptures and the gospels, they all have much to teach us. But the kingdom of heaven isn't static. God is always working, always revealing the kingdom of heaven in shocking and surprising ways to new people like you and me. Through Jesus, a process has begun by the Holy Spirit that will achieve God's purposes gradually. We may not be able to see the fullness of God's reign right now, but it is growing in our midst. And all of these parables together serve to remind me that God uses small actions in ordinary people to make really big impacts in the world. And those are the things that show me that the kingdom of heaven is present here on earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.